Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And so I don't know if you caught me on the NFL Network talking about people who I love from the greater Chicagoland area. I forgot to mention the star of the show, Tyler Scott. So without further ado, let's bring on the man of the hour.
Good blocking on the perimeter, and that opens it up for Tyler Scott.
And Tyler, I'm sorry. I was sitting there making fun of Cleveland and saying that I was very happy for The Miz. Drew Carey, our friend Smiling Demi, who's a fan of the show. I forgot to mention you, and for that, I feel like Akron's different, so I apologize if I didn't include you on that. Are we still good?
No, we're good. We're good. We're good.
How was it, though? How was this weekend? Now, obviously, a very disappointing loss. Once again, you know, I love the progress. You know, I love that, you know, we go into these situations where, you know, Cleveland's one of the best teams in the league, one of the top defenses in the league. And it's good that it's like competitive. I don't think it was competitive over the last couple of years. It's good to be competitive, but what was that like for you going back home, playing in front of your hometown fans, but ultimately coming up short in that game?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely a bittersweet moment for me. You know, I was, you know, pregame, I had, you know, a million people, you know, yelling my name, signed some autographs, you know, seeing some old friends, teachers. You know, I mean, it was great, you know, pregame going out, just, you know, I've seen, you know, a couple games in that stadium, you know, from the stands, and then to finally be there and to be on the other side now, being the one looking up into the stands and, you know, just being able to experience that. That was just, I mean, it was such a cool moment for me, you know, growing up, like I said, in a household full of, you know, Cleveland Browns fans, listening to them, you know, day or every Sunday, you know, after church. It was such a cool moment to be there and to be able to face them, and then have so many people that I grew up with on the field for, you know, pregame, was able to watch up close and personal, got some pictures with them. You know, they got to watch us warm up and things of that nature, and then was able to play in front of so many different people that some haven't even got to see me play live. So, I mean, it was such a cool moment. But also, like I said, it was, like I said, bittersweet with the L at the end of the day. But, you know, it was great being back.
It is one of those things. I'm very familiar. I'm familiar with it from the other side, not from your perspective, but from your friend's perspective. One of my good friends growing up, Dave Janowski, played at the University of Washington. We would go see him play USC, UCLA. We went on the road to Tempe to go see him play ASU. They were playing Jake Plummer at the time. It was an epic game, which Washington ultimately lost. So it's that, I know what it's like when it's like you're watching your friend and you're like, yeah. And Dave even had a return in the game and you're excited. But I gotta tell you, like, everybody who was there representing you from growing up and everything, I know that everybody, just knowing, you know, going through this experience myself, they're super proud of you, proud of what you've been able to do. Ultimately, we want to get the win. I know selfishly we want to go out there and win. But just seeing you out there, you know, just because, like, growing up with somebody and being able to know somebody, you're like, God, that's a player who's out there on the field. And then, of course, you made a couple of big plays in this game. And I wanted to ask you, because to set up the final desperation heave, the Hail Mary, if you will, you had a nice little catch and run there. How close were you to break? Because I was like, oh, whoa, whoa. Because you were like kind of, you were toeing that line. How close were you to being able to break that?
Yeah, I mean, so I ended up catching it, turned around. Okay, we got a lot of open grass. Seeing Newsome and Ward. Looked like Denzel Ward was just trying to kind of I don't know. I thought I was just going to kind of walk out of bounds.
Yeah.
And it kind of looked like too, he was trying to basically push me back in bounds, but he didn't kind of make an effort. And so, you know, we have a rule kind of C2 split two. And so kind of where they were, kind of angle I was coming at, the momentum I'm had, I'm like, well, I feel like I could split these two guys. And worst case scenario, I'll get a few extra yards and my momentum will just carry me out of bounds. But looking at just kind of, and even looking at the scouting report, we knew their DBs didn't like to tackle. And so that really showed itself in that phase there. And so seeing the two guys split the two, I'm like, okay, so there's more open field. I was still in bounds. On the film, I see Mooney. I was on the field. He's like pointing at me. He's like, get out of bounds. And so I'm like, no, I'm like, turn around. I'm like, score.
Go.
And so he turns around. He makes a really nice block. I get around his, but I'm kind of, like I said, right on that edge. And at that point, I'm like, okay, I have a really good shot at possibly taking it here. I think it was like one guy maybe left. But at that point, I was just kind of too close to the sideline to really just keep my footing. So at that point, I'm like, all right, well, let me get as much as I can, knew the clock situation. I was like, if I can get as much as I can, possibly get in field goal range, but at least give us a shot to you know, at the end of the game. And so, you know, I was going for the dagger there to kind of end it, but you know, I got what I could and then got out.
No, I thought it was the right play. You know, watching it in real time, again, you're trying to preserve time. You know, you want to give yourself another chance. It's funny because in that instance, it's like, would you trust the guy who's super fast with the ball in his hands possibly getting to the end zone, or do you want to go out of bounds and possibly take a desperation heave? I'll always take, like, you got the play going. Like, let's see what happens, because there's so many variables that go into a last-second desperation toss.
Yeah.
But the Bears, we had one. What was it like being on the field? Because I know, like, watching it, a lot of times you're like, there's no way this is going to happen. But we've seen it, you know, happen time and time again. To come so close, what was it like on the field to be that close and be like, I mean, like, this is – you haven't lived this life. Oh, listen, you grew up a Browns fan, so you know as well as anybody. Like, there's a lot of – and I know that I've been – I know that I've been having fun with Browns fans on Twitter, on NFL Network. I like the Cleveland fans. I like the city of – it's a beautiful place. So we're having a little bit of fun. I'm leaning into the heel roll right now. But there's a shared experience. The Browns fans – and the Bears fans, very similar DNA. Like, you got to be Jane Goodall in a way, the kind of being able to distinguish between the two. So you know exactly what it's like the level of pessimism that you have of, like, this isn't going to work. And then for it to be so close on the field, what was that like? What was your initial reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I've said this multiple weeks, man. At the end of the day, all you want is a chance. You know, got us a chance to, you know, get down there, you know, and we got a chance. I knew with Justin's arm, I'm like, he could easily make a 50-yard throw. Yeah. So, you know, called the play in, and I knew it was going to be a Hail Mary situation. Had a chance. You know, everybody got in their positions. And at that point, you know, you're just hoping that, you know, you get a tip ball. You know, we have a jumper. You know, to hopefully get there in the middle, kind of tip the ball. Some, you know, the ball goes somewhere. Have a guy in the back where I was, a guy on the sides, to kind of just be, you know, in the vicinity of, like, all right, if there's a tip ball, you could possibly catch it. And you know, it just seemed to work out exactly how we had it kind of mapped out, as far as, you know, hopefully getting a tip ball and maybe it falling into someone's hands, you know, on the way down. But you know, it didn't work out in the end, but you know, at the end of the day, you just want a chance there. You know, so can't give up on a play. But yeah, I mean, those are tough. You know, they're not, you know, high percentage plays necessarily in the NFL, but like I said, at the end of the day, you know, crazy things happen in the NFL. That's what makes the game so great. You know, but someone's got to win and someone's got to lose.
Yeah, I would love to pull anybody out of the stands and have them try to catch that football, because I know that every expert and every, like, you know, flag football wide receiver, like, oh, I would have made that catch. No, you wouldn't have.
Oh, my gosh.
You would not.
That's a tough catch, man. It's a tough catch to be, you know, you're something you may not even know where the ball actually is until, you know what I'm saying, until it's maybe halfway to the ground. And then on top of that, Mooney's on his way falling down. Yeah. So he's kind of got to, I mean, you have less than, I mean, you have maybe 0.5 seconds there to kind of react, gather yourself, see where the ball is at, react, gather it, and then, you know, get to the ground or what have you. But you know, that's a tough catch to make. You know, but that's the name of the game.
Yeah, we there was a Super Bowl a number of years ago, the one in Indianapolis, where Tom Brady threw a desperation heave like that, and Gronk almost made a play.
Yeah,
like,
I remember that. Yeah,
Gronk couldn't make that play. I think the only time that I've seen somebody really make a play like that, it was might have been Julian Edelman, another Patriots player in the Super Bowl and the comeback win over the Falcons. As a matter of fact, I was in the tunnel. Oh, yeah. I was in the tunnel there in Houston with the Falcons families because they were getting ready to go on the field to go celebrate when that play happened. And I was like, gosh. And like, I remember because Arthur Blank's grandchildren were there with me. Like, there's no way that was a catch. And you're like, oh, dude, that was a catch. Yeah. So it's a very difficult thing like that. I'm almost like I was bummed for Darnell because I'm like, you made it too close because now people are going to talk.
Yeah. And then they make it worse when they play it in slow motion. That just amplifies it all. And everyone's like, well, see, look, he should have caught it.
Show it in real time. I think anything that if you slow down long enough, I don't know. That's a crazy, because like, listen, I don't want to bring you in on this. So I won't, because I know there's probably, just to let everybody know, we record this show. So if you're a Browns fan coming in here trying to run your mouth about the David Njoku play, I can't see it. And I'm not going to go back and look, so you're out of luck. But like when you slow it down, they're like, well, his toes hit before his heels. I'm like, but his heel comes down. Like anytime you slow things up too much as opposed to watching it in real time. Because when you watch it in real time, it was one of those things you're like, but that's like anything. Yeah. Like unless it's like, you know, like every once in a while, like you – anytime like this happens in the real world where just things fall off the table, you try to catch something or whatever it is, like it's a very difficult thing, even if you're one of the best athletes in the world. How was our friend Darnell? What was it like in the locker room? Like, do you not make eye contact with Darnell Mooney? Do you have to like, because obviously you guys dress together.
Yeah, of course.
You're like, hey, Darnell, like, good to see you. Oh, wait, hold on. I gotta go see Matt over here. What is that like in the locker room afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a team, you know, we're frustrated, you know, not really just for that play, but just, you know, kind of the whole game as far as, you know, we're up 17-7, you know, going to the fourth, and you let a lead get away like we have, you know, multiple times this year. And I think that's the main frustration. It's not really frustration like, oh, he didn't catch it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even think that's not what's on our mind necessarily. It's really just we're looking at the body of work at the game. And just trying to figure out, like, man, where do we go wrong? You know, and the fact that we just let, you know, this game slip out of our hands. You know, that's the true frustration there. And I remember getting onto the bus and, you know, Darnell was just like, man, they're killing me on social media, man.
Oh, no.
I was like, so from where I was at, kind of from the back, because I was supposed to be the back guy to kind of see, like, if the ball tips in the back, I would be there to, you know, try to be in the situation that Darnell was in. And so I didn't actually really see the play as far as how close it was,
right?
Except from where I was behind, I just kind of heard a ruckus. I seen the guy with the ball in his hands running. I didn't see where I was at, like I said, where I was at, kind of what happened with the Darnell situation. And he ended up showing me the film and seeing, you know, how close it was. Like, oh wow, I was like, I didn't know it was that close. You know, until you just now showed me. And so, you know, it's tough. You know, that's the name of the game. You know, of course, people are gonna, you know, bash you and, you know, feel like, you know, from their couches and like, man, he should have caught that. And, you know, you have, you know, passionate fans, you know, I mean, that's the game, man. And, you know, sometimes those plays are made and sometimes they're not, you know, but I mean, his spirits were obviously, you know, not good, you know, for someone that was put in that, you know, position. But at the end of the day, you just continue to encourage somebody, you know, there's no reason to down him or, you know, in any of those things, you know, I look at me and say, man, I should have caught the first pass and maybe we have more time to, you know, do more instead of catching the second one. And, you know, now we have less time. You know, you're looking at yourself in the mirror. At least that's where I, you know, in my perspective, when I'm looking at it, you know, I'm looking at myself in the mirror and saying, all right, what can I have done in this game, you know, to put us in position to win it? And so we didn't have to be in position to throw our Hail Mary. You know, so I don't think it's necessarily looking to point fingers and, you know, blame people. It's more so just looking yourself in the mirror. And, you know, just looking at what could, you know, I have done as a team, what could we have done to not have ourselves in that position?
Yeah, that was one of the most impressive things. And I wanted to get to that. You did have a drop in that final drive, but you made up for it on the second play where you were very close. Was that, does that play into your mind? Is that like in the back of your mind, like, I got to make up for it here and see how much I can get out of this play?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's not all, I mean, you're going to have things that happen during the game and even in the course of just life in general. But I think the big part, something that they teach in this building, of being, you know, a Chicago Bear, something I've heard, you know, growing up and something that I've experienced growing up is, how are you going to react? You know, once, you know, something bad happens, how are we going to react? Are you going to put your head down? Or, well, the ball's not coming my way again. He's not going to throw me the ball. You know, I had a pass where, like I said, I dropped it and he came right back to me the next play and put ourselves in a position to a chance to have a shot. You know, so at the end of the day, things are going to happen in the game. But I think the number one thing is, how do you respond to those things? You know, because you're going to hopefully have another opportunity. And when you get another opportunity, how are you going to take that opportunity? And for me, you know, the game's not over. Yeah, I dropped the pass or, you know, whatever, but the game's not over. We have to still keep playing, you know. And so there's still time on the clock. And we had time on the clock. I was able to get the ball in my hands again and make something happen. And so, like I said, we had a shot at the end there. And, you know, that's the biggest thing. Just how are you going to respond?
Yeah, I think it kind of exemplifies the leadership skills of Justin Fields, because, you know, not going to put you in the doghouse or anything like that. Going to go right back to you, show that trust once again. And I bring up Justin Fields because, obviously, you know, you know, I feel bad thinking about Darnell Mooney going and looking at social media after a game, which if I could give Darnell another message through you this week, don't do that. Don't stop looking at social media, because it's the blessing and the curse of playing for the Chicago Bears. Like, yeah. I don't know if you saw this, but Carolina, you know, they were selling tickets for 45 cents on the secondary market. That stadium was empty. You don't get that in Chicago. Like, we've not had a lot of great years since 2018. That stadium's always full. The fans are engaged. The fans are locked in. And again, it's a blessing and a curse, because you're not going to be able to escape it, good or bad. But obviously, with the Bears, because of Carolina, because of potentially having the number one overall pick, there's speculation that you could take a quarterback. DJ Moore has spoken about this publicly, where he said, I don't think that the two guys presumed to be the top two picks in the draft are better than Justin Fields. Jalen Johnson on 670 The Score even said the same thing himself. Like, listen, this guy's our leader. What do you think about Justin Fields? Like, is that something that comes up a lot in the building, but how do you feel about Justin Fields overall?
No, I mean, honestly, that's a lot of outside talk that you hear, you know, social media, you know, other analysts, you know, things of that nature. You know, I mean, I think everyone in the locker room loves Justin Fields, man. You know, it's my first year with Justin, and I love the guy. You know, ever since I first stepped in the building, he was the first one to greet me. He was the first one to contact me, you know, after I got drafted. And, you know, I loved him ever since I've stepped in the building. You know, just how he's carried himself, just how he's been in the position that he's been in, you know, with really not, you know, so much of a stable environment, you know, since he's been here, but continue to work hard, continue to have a great attitude, continue to lead a group of guys. And, you know, I think he's, from what I've seen, improved, you know, each year, you know, as he's been in the league. And, you know, now being my first year, you know, being around him, you know, seeing his game, just seeing the way he plays. I thought this year being with him, I think he's had a great year statistically. And not only statistically, I think he's just done a great job of taking control of just the offense as far as, you know, his command that he has in the huddle, being able to trust him. You know, I mean, you hear all those different things about different quarterbacks and, you know, things of that nature. You know, but like I said, I love Justin Fields. And like I said, he's had a great year. And you know, I wouldn't be against playing with him, you know, for the rest of my career, honestly. And so, you know, he actually hit me up after the game, this past game, and just gave me some words of encouragement, just said, you know, way to, you know, basically step up, you know, there at the end, just keep working, man. And, you know, for me, that's huge, you know, to, you know, have him reach out to me and just give me those words of encouragement, being a young guy, you know, that does a lot for a player. And so, like I said, I love the dude. So, we'll see what happens, you know, going forward. You know, obviously not my decision, but, you know, so far and as of right now, and hopefully moving forward, Justin's the quarterback of the Chicago Bears.
The unquestioned leader of the Chicago Bears. And of course, I'll be back on Wednesday night for Take It to the Rank, where I will be battling.
F1.
Well, I will be battling half of Bears Twitter. I will be going against Carmen. I'm with you. I said last week, and I've said this plenty of times, like, I've seen enough. we're on to the next round. We're on to the next level. You know, let's go and let's just continue to build this team and continue to build this roster and see what happens. I'm curious, though, because now, you know, we had a pathway to 9 wins, which would have put us right in the middle of the playoff conversation. I don't know if we've been outright eliminated yet. Forgive me for not knowing that offhand. It was a long shot last week. I feel like it's got to be a longer shot right now. But is there been any talk moving forward where, okay, well, now we're going to go into more of an evaluation process, which could mean more targets for somebody like yourself. And I'm curious, like, I know we're still early in the week, but have you gotten a sense like, okay, we're really going to start peppering you with targets or anything like that?
No, I don't think so, because I think mathematically we're still not eliminated.
That was
an AFC opponent that we ended up facing. And the next three we have are all, I want to say, NFC.
Yeah. Arizona, Atlanta, and Green Bay.
Right. They're all NFC, opponents. So we still have a chance, you know, depending on what happens, how things shake out. We still have a chance. Now, as far as evaluation wise, I think you're getting evaluated every single day. You know, every single day you walk into the building, you're always being evaluated. There's not a time that you're not being evaluated. It's out of practice. You're not being evaluated. Not a day that you walk through any building, at least that I've been a part of, where you're not being evaluated. So that's kind of the scope and lens that I see it from, is you're always being evaluated. Like I said, this is year one for me. I don't know exactly how things kind of shake out towards the end of the season, and things of that nature. So I'm not kind of sure about how those things go kind of up in the front office. But, you know, for me, like I said, I've always had the lens of I'm always being evaluated. So I'm always putting my best foot forward, always trying to do the things that I can do to remain a Chicago Bear and to put my best foot forward on Sundays.
Yeah. And selfishly, you know, there's nobody rooting for you more than me. But at the same time, because, you know, I'm also a fantasy enthusiast, I got to have that in mind as well. So I'm like, I don't want you to do too well these last three games. So you get into these, people start drafting you next year a little bit too early. So then I got to fight for it. But actually, I'm in a lot of leagues with Chicago people. So the secret's already out. So we're already looking forward to that next year. By the way, before you were talking about our opponents in the upcoming week. Obviously, this weekend, we're going to be playing host to the Arizona, I almost said Chicago Cardinals. Nobody says Chicago Cardinals. Nobody knows that the Cardinals started in Chicago, but playing host to the Arizona Cardinals. I want to let everybody know that if you're not going to the game, because this isn't Carolina, we have good fans and everybody shows up to games. But a great place to watch the game is Game Room Chicago, located inside the historic Chicago Athletic Association Hotel. It is awesome. It features billiards, shuffleboard, skee ball, pop a shot, and so much more. And with a menu featuring Michelin-starred chef Mari Katsumura snack foods, there are also beer towers, shareable signature cocktails, a weekend Bloody Mary bar, and so much space to watch your favorite games, including the Bears and Chicago. This used to be a rivalry. My dad used to go to Comiskey Park back in the day, before the old Comiskey Park. He's like, it was easier to get tickets to the Cardinals Bears games in Comiskey than in Wrigley. So he would go, and then he would purposely buy tickets in the Cardinals section just to go there and cause a ruckus. And he was a Navy guy. He wasn't afraid of anything. Would go there on the south side and cause a stir. So it'd be a lot of fun. Are you looking forward to playing the Cardinals? Like, I know that they have their own thing with Kyler Murray and a lot of people questioning them. They're also potentially in the top three. As somebody who likes the sport, what do you think of Kyler Murray? Like, I've always been a fan of his ever since his days at Oklahoma. I even watched him play baseball. He was drafted by the Oakland A's, and I was like, God, I'm like, this guy's going to end up tormenting me one way or the other. So what do you think about him as a player and as an athlete? Because I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, so I watched him when he was at Oklahoma. Always kind of the little guy running around. And so sometimes, you know, when I'm talking to people about like different quarterbacks and just different players in the league, right? For people that may know, I'm a huge sports car collector.
Yeah.
And so when I talk about different people and we're talking about different guys, I always say like, would I invest in this guy or would I not invest in this guy? You know what I'm saying? As far as sports cars wise, like would I go and search out for his card and invest in him or would I not? And so when I put that, you know, spectacle up with like Kyler Murray, I feel like that's a guy that I would probably invest in long term. He ended up getting paid. So I feel like, you know, he has, you know, more of a leash with the organization. But I think too, just when I watched him at Oklahoma, just how explosive he was. Once he gets the right pieces around him, I think he can be pretty good. I think he has a great knack for, I think, what Lamar Jackson has now that he didn't have earlier, which is kind of being able to run kind of with a cautiousness, but like he's not necessarily taking huge hits. Like he has like the ability and the threat of like, all right, he's not necessarily always running full speed, which it kind of almost looks like Kyler is though, but he just knows when to get down, when to elude, when to get out of bounds. And I think he just has like, I mean, even just the way he throws the ball, you could tell he's played baseball. Like he has just the way he throws, he has that type of release. But I think he's just an exciting player. And like I said, since he's been in Oklahoma, I think he's just been an electrifying player to watch.
I love the idea of you putting it in the card sense. Would I invest in this player? I'm with you. I would invest in him as well. And I think if Arizona moves on from him, they could be making a mistake. You know, it's funny because as much as they talk about like Justin moving on, like, yeah, he could go here or he could go there. I'm like, well, why isn't Kyler Murray like in that conversation? That I'm glad he's not, because I don't think anybody should have to live through that, especially young quarterbacks who are developing. I don't like it. You know what's funny, though? I'll leave you. I know that I've kept you on too long, but I'm gonna leave you with this, because at the beginning of the, 2022 football season, I was at the National Card Show in Burbank, California, going around, and I took my daughter and we were going out and buying cards and all this stuff. And, you know, we were both wearing she was wearing her Cutler jersey. So this was awesome. But I remember when you talk about people investing in cards, and this is why sometimes you shouldn't always trust the public. You could not buy a Trey Lance card because they were so expensive. And nobody wanted to give him up. And then people would just like, they guys were handing my daughter Justin Fields cards. Like, oh yeah, just take him. Like this guy's. And I'm like, this is why you can't always trust the public. Like this is a thing too. And if you ever
see that's crazy how it goes. Like in the card game, like a guy that's like, that I've seen, like, especially over the past year, who's been like, all right, his prices are always up. It's Justin Herbert. Like, he's a guy that people love in the card game. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, Justin, I'm like, he hasn't, like, at the time, like, has he won a playoff game yet? And like, it's like everybody just anointed this dude on the market where it's like, man, Justin Herbert was a guy where it's like everybody wanted. Josh Allen was another guy after the Kansas City game. Like, everybody wanted, you know, and things of that nature. And then you have those guys where it's like, you know, here you go. And then you got Brock Purdy, who's now come on pretty strong. But yeah, no, Trey Lance, you're right, is a person that's like, everyone's like, all right, I mean,
everybody was so convinced that he was better than Justin Fields. And they're like, just like, you couldn't, I swear to you, like, well, you know, I don't have to tell you this, like, the cards are like $50, or you'd get the chrome cards or like the super rares or anything. And you're like, oh my God. And I'm like, nobody wants these. And people are like, just walk off of these Justin Fields. I'm like, I'll take all the, if you want to give my cute daughter all these Justin Fields, I'll take them. And I'll take it all day long, and I will continue to back Justin Fields. And so it's fine. We should talk cards sometimes, because I got to.
No, we do.
You know what? I'm sorry. I know them. I know.
You're good.
We're going to get in trouble, and I know. I'm sorry. you know, one player that I really – well, it's an Ohio State guy, so I wanted to bring him up, because one player that I loved coming into the draft was Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Mm-hmm. And so on Monday night – so this was last night from when we're recording this – I mean, he had the winning catch, of course. It was an amazing grab. Is that somebody that we're buying in on? Because, like, I've been buying Jaxon Smith-Njigba cards, and I feel like after last night, that price is going to spike.
Yeah, no, I think he's definitely a guy you invest in, for sure. I think this wide receiver class this year in general, I think if you're a sports card collector, is a class that you should invest in, because I feel like this is a very deep wide receiver class from top to bottom. So I think moving forward, like, this is a great class wide receiver wise. I think, you know, you should definitely invest in, for sure. Quarterbacks, you know, we'll see. I think obviously CJ Stroud.
Well, CJ's good. Yeah, CJ's playing really well.
He's definitely someone that everyone's going to be hot on, for sure. I think, honestly, if I'm being honest, I think I'm still high on this guy, Anthony Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's going to end up being, you know, people might have forgot, but I think he's going to end up being really good if he can stay healthy. But I think him, we'll see how, you know, things, you know, with Bryce Young, you know, he's in a tough situation. But I think CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson are probably kind of my two that, you know, in this class where I'm like, all right, you know, and of course, forgive me, Tyson Bagent. You have to invest in Tyson Bagent long term because he's going to get an opportunity somewhere. It may not be Chicago, but he's going to get an opportunity somewhere. And you might want to hop on him early.
Yes, we're definitely going to be investing in Tyson. Great person, great player. And I loved the previous week after the win, and we saw Tyson in the locker room celebrating. I'm like, he's just got the vibe. Like, he's just the vibe guy. If nothing else, he's a great vibe guy. So we do love that. And of course, all the wide receivers, a lot of the wide receivers from this class, Jackson Smith and Jigba, obviously Tyler Scott goes without saying. Rashee Rice is another good one. Tank Dell's done pretty well.
He's in the other. But Jordan Addison, He's had a solid year. He's had a solid year.
He's been good. It's one of those things too, where it's like, hey, everybody. It's like, I know, like, comedians are always like super competitive. You're like, you know, everybody can be funny. Like, people enjoy shows when all the comedians are funny. Yeah. They don't want everybody to bomb and then one guy to kill. Like, that's not a great show. Similarly, we want all these guys to play well, even Quentin Johnston. Like, we want all these guys, and I wasn't taking a shot at him, but I'm like, everybody can be good and it's gonna be fine. Yeah. We want everybody to go out there and have a good time and contribute and have great careers. Unless you play for the Titans, because we don't care for you because you passed over on our guy. I'm happy. I don't know why I'm upset with you. Can be upset with Tennessee. I shouldn't be, because you're here right now because of that. But thanks again for coming on. And again, I know I say it time and time again, I know this was a tough one. I know it was a homecoming and it's a tough loss. And I think, again, it's a testament to your character that you go out there and you face the media and you face the critics in a tough market like Chicago. So we commend you for that. We're going to put that one behind us. Like, we can't run around the world and spin it backwards. So let's look forward. Let's finish off strong against our former Chicago rivals, the Cardinals. Then we need to beat Arthur Smith just because of the way he's using Bijan Robinson. I know Roshan's probably upset with him. So, oh my God. I don't know if you can. You know what I loved about Roshan Johnson? I'm sorry. I'm rambling now. When Justin Fields got lit up at the end of the first half, the guy who got into the referee's face was Roshan Johnson, like the immediate first guy. I love that about him. I'm like, get him. I don't want to get you into trouble. So don't talk. We're not going to talk about that. But anyways, and then we got the Packers in week 18. Let's finish off strong. Three consecutive victories. We'll go into the offseason with a lot of hope and a lot of optimism, as we should. And hopefully a lot of targets. That first touchdown's coming, but I want to thank you for being here. And that's all I got for you. Thank you so much, Tyler.
Yeah, no problem. I love coming on each week.
All right. Well, we'll tell Jeff. I know Jeff always puts a time limit on. Sorry, Jeff. We're having a good time. We started talking about cards. We're having a delightful conversation. You can't stop that. But I want to thank everybody for being here. Like and subscribe to this podcast. Tell your friends. Do all that stuff. So for Tyler, I'm Adam. And Bear Down and Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.